The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And wonderful Saturday morning to you, David Doval. How are you?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Everything is good. Welcome, listeners. We're glad you're joining us. We're talking home improvement for the next 2 hours. We're going to be at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, we're back in Wilmington, North Carolina for grandbaby number 4. Chris,
wow.
Chris and Amber had a little baby girl on Monday. So that's 2 grandbabies and 13 days. God is good.
Yes, congratulations.
So we're, I haven't seen my wife. I don't know. I think she's here. We're still married. Haven't seen her without a baby on her. That's awesome. but that's not what we're here to talk about. This week, we want to talk about what's important to you, our listeners. And so 704-570-1110 is the way to do that. But also, want to talk about this week decking or decks. Let's just not say decking. Let's just say decks in general. It's March. And almost the end of March, I guess, by the time you get to listen to this and kind of digest it and get busy about things. And really what inspired me is I was reading one of the trade publications, and it actually was the February edition, and it was their decking edition. And so there's all kinds of stuff. But David, I thought for us, there's so many things that that are important if you're going to build a brand new deck. If you're going to attach that deck to your home, if you're going to build a deck that maybe over the years can evolve into, you know, a screened-in porch and then maybe even an addition, that is the traditional kind of life cycle, if you will. Or it is not unusual for that to be a life cycle of a deck. And then, like everything from what should the footing be, what type of lumber should you use? Several years ago now, we switched from CCA, chromated copper arsenic, to ACQ, which contains words I cannot pronounce. And there were environmental and health reasons for doing that. But retention level, how much chemical, you know, the wood actually retains is important, especially when you're talking, you know, putting it on the deck versus ground contact. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about fasteners, both fasteners from a perspective of not affected from a corrosion perspective by the new, much more aggressive ACQ. David, I think you even have some thoughts about, is it borate? I can't remember. I've got some notes here. We'll take a dive into it. But also then, like Simpson Strong Tie and others have some pretty amazing technology out there to make some of the more difficult fastening situations, if you will, like posts for deck rail and things like that, connecting to an existing structure. They meet code, but are a little bit more user-friendly maybe than some of the older versions of that. Want to talk about railing options. Deck railing has evolved radically from you and me just cutting 2x2 12s into, you know, 3-foot sections or whatever it is with a beveled edge, right? It's a little different world. Then preserving the deck, if you use wood versus a composite, and should you use wood or composite, and what's the price difference, and what's the cost of acquisition versus cost of ownership, lighting, and then and maybe David, we can start all of it with just 2 years ago we probably would have said, look, absent winning the lottery, we're not sure you should, you know, put a deck on your house at all, right? And right. I went out and looked, and I'm not a wizard in these things, but I mean, if you just go out to Random Lengths, and that's a, you can get a subscription to Random Lengths, all your, you know, building people, people who sell lumber, people who buy lumber, all look at Random Lengths. And I just went out and looked at the Random Lengths Index on May 9th, 2021. It was $1,675. And that's a composite of everything, right? So it's your structure, it's your timbers, your sheet goods. I believe it has sheet goods in it. Anyway,
board foot.
Yes. But it's a composite. It just adds them all together. Kind of like, the stock market does, right? When you say the Dow right. Industrial. And then on March 12th of 2023, it was $452.40. So way down from the insanity that, you know, ensued after COVID. In fact, if you look at it, it is slightly above the composite at the same time in 2019. So if you're going to invest in wood, this is not a bad time to do it year over year. So it's come steadily down with a few blips here and there, but year over year, so 2022 compared to 23, it's down 62%. So right. That's good news. That's very yeah, good news. Affordability has returned. And the good news is you can now take the savings that you got from your deck and buy a black market gas range in San Francisco. I had to slide that in. I think it's insane.
And we really should talk about, we should talk about that soon about the ranges too. And
I've got, actually, I want to do a little bit more research because it's so easy to get emotional about that stuff, but I've already been reading up on it. Right. And I know we've gone past our break, but there's all kinds of political things about it. But the truth of the matter is, what is common sense? Facts. Yeah. Right. What is common sense and dollars and cents and all those things? How does that all work together?
And the repercussions of if you switch from gas to electric,
the environmental yes. impact could be substantial, not to mention strain on the grid, which is already straining. But that's all maybe another day's conversation. We're at 704-570-1110. Got to take a break because I've run past it. And we'll be back to answer home improvement questions when we return to the Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doeffel.
And we are taking your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking, we're talking about whatever's important to you this morning, but we are down the path of decks. And David, I see you texted me some stuff here. I haven't had a chance to get it open enough to read it, but it looks like an awesome document. We want to talk this morning a little bit about decks. It's that time of year. People are out thinking about, you know, what are we going to do in the outside area? And decks have been, as long, David, I think as long as you and I have been in the business, pretty much a pretty typical improvement that folks make to make in the outside of their home, or increasing the living space, if you will, of the home. And we can do anything, or one can do anything from a really basic sort of standalone little deck that you can put a grill on and a chair and kind of hang out there to some amazingly elaborate stone and wood and composite right. with kitchens and satellite dishes and I don't know what else.
Well, and
it's pretty great.
I think too, because, you know, when I've talked to folks before from other parts of the country, our houses are a lot of houses are off of the ground a good ways. So decks are the most inexpensive way to put a patio in. Really,
yes.
You know,
yes. Because
if you're on a slab house and you're close to the ground, then you have more options. But when you're 2, 3, 4 feet in the air and higher, a deck is going to be the most economical thing that you can build to have an outdoor landing area, I guess you'd say, a place to, to sit outside.
Right. And I think the beautiful thing about that is there are like necessity, well, none of it technically is a necessity, but there's, hey, look, if you want to have a deck, you got to go up in this particular scenario. But if you think about a master bedroom that's not on the main, or even one on the main, having a deck where you have the room to have just a way to come out of the master bedroom, the master suite, onto an outside area is just peaceful, right? It's just like kind of be away from everybody, everything, grab a cup of coffee and wander out there and just enjoy a beautiful spring or summer morning. Next week we'll do what coffee makers you should have on your nightstand. It's whatever. But I digress a little bit, but we spoke just before the break about lumber and lumber pricing, and there were all kinds of things going on during COVID, you know, where people were were trading in square feet of treated lumber and all that crazy stuff. Look, the price points are now where they almost to where they were back in 2019 pre-COVID. So it's, if you're going to use wood on your deck, it certainly is a reasonable time to make that investment and not have to break the bank. David, I have a question though. There's so much information here. What's best, to just talk about lumber versus composite, to talk about retention levels, so you're choosing the right wooden product for the right application, replacing, building new? What's the best place to start, as if you know, from your organized mind?
I think really what you have to do is you have to figure out where you're going to put the deck in the area of the deck.
Okay.
So that you can, so it all starts with the design, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. See, you have to know, because in order to figure out you kind of know what your budget is or what you think you want to spend, but sometimes it's better to take a tape measure out there, maybe a can of spray paint or whatever, and just kind of mark it in the yard. And then once you have those numbers, the square footage, so the length times the width, then you can start looking at what you want to cover it with, which is probably could be the most expensive part of the deck. The rails are probably second.
Right.
So that's probably where I would start.
Okay. So that's a great point. And so then, let's just do that. And we'll just kind of keep track of the things that we've covered and the things we've not covered. So you go out there, you say, okay, this is what I want to do. Now you have, And we're talking right now, putting a new deck in versus doing, you know, saying, hey, this deck was put in here 30 years ago. It looks like the south end of a northbound dog. Undercarriage is good. I'm just going to fix the top. Let's set that aside for 1 second and say, hey, we're brand spanking new. There's no deck. So you brought up a really important point. How high in the air does this deck have to go to receive an individual without a parachute exiting the house? Mm-hmm. That makes a difference in the type of timbers you use to support it and footings, right?
Yes.
Talk about, because a lot of people, we've seen, I don't know how to say that correctly, we've seen a lot of scenarios where folks will get a deck block, dig a hole, put some gravel in it, put the deck block in it, the little kind of cinder block sort of thing that can hold a 4x4 and so on. It's notched, you know, several ways on the top, and that becomes the footing, which is acceptable in certain scenarios. But let's talk about a little bit more complex situation. So you're going up at least, I don't know, say 6 to 8 feet in the air. What do you have to consider? What happens at that footing level?
Well, now you're going to go. I would go with a 6x6. You don't have to, but a 6x6 is probably better, which means that your footings are going to have to be wider. And then, you know, for our folks that are listening in different parts of the country, if you live If you live in Michigan or Minnesota, your footings are going to be deeper than what we have to build our footings here in the Carolinas. So we want to make sure we tell right. folks that. I guess just for instance, if someone's interested in trying to do this yourself, in Mecklenburg County, they have a pretty cool little pamphlet. It's called All Decked Out. And right. if you just do a search for that, that's what I sent you, John.
Yeah, I see that now. It's pretty awesome.
And it gives you some basics on things that you have to look at. You know, this is what I always tell folks is to take a look at this first and see if you understand it enough to know if this is really something that you want to do.
Right.
You know, and the other thing is if it does look like it's something you want to do, you can always call down there in Mecklenburg County and they'll help walk you through some of this stuff. It's pretty basic really, but just know that if you're in different parts of the country, some of these things don't pertain to you. You have to have, I think it's some of those places are 48 inch frost lines. So
they are I know growing up in Chicago, that was the case. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So like right here, it says the footing needs to be 12 inches below the finished grade. So, you know, right there tells you that it's way different here than 12 inches and 48 inches is a pretty big difference.
About 3 feet.
Yeah, about 3 feet. And if you've ever dug in
clay. I'm here for you. Oh.
So
that's why God invented a two-man auger, a two-person auger.
Exactly. Well, and so we look at footings. So that's what it talks about. And then it tells you if you can use precast or if you want to pour, which is buying deck blocks like you were talking about,
right.
John.
Right.
Or do you dig the footings and then you pour the concrete in them a little extra, but sometimes that makes more sense. And
I did that. I don't know if that was smart, but that's how I did it.
No, absolutely. It also offers you, remember when you set that post, so there's two things here, and I think people get confused sometimes, is a footing. When you have a footing, that post has to be fastened to footing as well.
Hey, David, so, hang on 1 second. Yes. I know you don't have a clock there. We are like 30 seconds away from break, so we're gonna go. I want to come back to the footing piece, though. Folks, don't go away. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave talking about decks, but we'll talk about what's important to you at 704-570-1110 when we return after these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, that's our number. Before we get back into footings and stuff for decks, David, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. This week it feels very appropriate that we should talk about the Masterbuilt Gravity Series 800, stay with me, digital charcoal griddle, gas griddle, grill, and smoker. David, I have always loved, well, especially since I moved to the South, because we really didn't do that up there in Yankee land. A lot of people did. I just didn't know about it. But smoking brisket, smoking ribs, just, oh my gosh, I can taste it right now. And I've never personally done it because I just felt like it was just too complicated and it took too much time and attention. This little dealy just solves that problem, in my opinion. It's a griddle, and it's a smoker. Now, here's why I think it's cool. It has like a gravity-fed little silo, I guess, on the side of it that holds 10 hours of charcoal chunks or briquettes, and it's got a digital Wi-Fi-controlled fan that maintains the optimal temperature that you're looking for. Wow. So fundamentally, you can set this thing up, put your butt or your meat butt, not ribs, brisket, whatever on there and go do what you're going to do. And I don't know, to me, it's an awesome deal. It's not inexpensive. It's about $800. But I think, I don't know, my opinion is this is, we're talking outdoors, we're talking decks. If you're going to do it right. And There's even more high tech versions of this thing that I was just like, no, I just got to talk about this one because it's very practical. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. It's a Masterbuilt Gravity Series 800 digital charcoal griddle grill smoker combo. Awesome. And then I don't know. Well, I'll refrain from comment. I think it's pretty cool. All right. So, David, we were deep into footings. And let's finish that up, because you pointed out, hey, you can use different solutions, you know, a precast footing or a poured footing. But we stopped for the break when you were talking about, hey, whatever your timber is, post needs to be fastened to the footing, right? You can't just set it on there. Talk to that for a minute, please.
Yeah, so they over the years, what's happened is because of storms lifting decks and different things up and taking them off of the house, they've changed some rules, and so that's one of the things is that you have to fasten the deck post down to the footing. I think you still can pour a footing deeper in the ground and then backfill it. So that you don't get lift, but I'm not sure. So you would want to talk with the inspector about that, because I haven't built any decks in a good while. But anyway, there's all types of fasteners, and John, you were talking about Simpson Strong Tie. If you look that up, you'll see deck. If you put deck fastening and post fastening, they'll have all types of devices that you can use. And they work pretty well. So some of them you put in while the concrete's wet, and some of them you mm-hmm. set on top of the footing and bolt them down, and then you set the post in the cradle and bolt the post to this device. So there's lots of ways to do it.
So I can't remember which deck we did this on, but we dug the footings, poured the concrete while the concrete was wet, or we set the post, poured the concrete around it, but and did not use a mechanical fastener, but used I want to say half inch galvanized lag screws at like two on each side of the post, and let the concrete sit around those so that it wasn't like a straight shot out, that you had right. additional surface area. I don't know if that met code or not. This is like 20 years ago, maybe more.
Well, it used to be all different kinds of, and I think the idea was there that to anchor it so that it you wouldn't get lift, wind
couldn't
lift.
Pull up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, and I think what they do is it's a blanket coverage, but If the deck's higher off the ground, obviously it has a better chance of getting wind underneath it and getting lift.
Pulled up. Yeah.
It's where if it's built just about on the ground, it's less likely that it's going to be lifted off of the ground. But I you know, I guess they could make a rule, but it probably just muddies the water. So I think they just have a blanket rule for that. And I was also going to say that most of these rules are pretty consistent across the United States. Some things change. So, you know, you certainly, again, as a disclaimer, make sure you check with your local department. And I think that maybe the other thing that we said, this is where you start. Remember, before you start digging or doing anything, you have to have a permit for a deck.
Yeah.
And it says in this county and pretty much everywhere across this country, you have to have a permit. So, and what they're talking about is they're going to inspect the footings. And remember, when you dig the hole for the footing, you have to have that inspected before you put anything in it, because what they're looking for is compaction for the load rating, so that the dirt has to be tight enough for you to be able to actually pour a concrete or set concrete blocks on to set the deck on it for the weight.
Yep. Okay. We got to take a break, Dave. When we come back, I want to go to fastening the deck to an existing structure and yes. some of the hassles there. And then also then we'll talk a little bit about the types of wood that you should use for your undercarriage, and then we'll go to decking. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave talking decks. We'll talk about whatever's important to you at 704-570-1110 when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
We are at 704-570-1110. I know we've been talking a lot this morning, and so not saying the number, but give us a call if you've got questions about decks, certainly, but questions about other aspects of your home. We're happy to talk about anything that's on your mind this morning. We're just staying a little bit focused on decks, only for us, well, hopefully for y'all, but if you've got other questions, call 704-570-1110. David, we spent a little bit of time talking about footings and the importance. I'm wondering, at that PDF that you sent me, is it legal for us to repost that just on our website where people are going? I don't know. That would be interesting.
Well, we can certainly post a link to it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be kind of cool. And then if you're not sure, send us a note at askjohnanddave.com. I think we can just send it off like you did to me, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we spoke about footings. We didn't even come close to exhausting it, but we could spend an entire show on that, and let's not do that. But there's another aspect structurally, and that is what are the right ways to fasten a deck to a home? When Barb and I redid our deck, I don't know what it was, 2008, ever how many years ago that was, when I took everything off and got down to the undercarriage and inspected how the deck itself was attached to the house, it was attached with 20 penny galvanized nails. That was how the deck was attached to the house. That didn't right. feel right. So what is the right way when you're so two things, David. Let's talk about what's the right way to do it. And then you can cheat by building a freestanding deck close to the house, I believe. But let's talk about the right way to do it first.
So they have to be bolted with a 5/8 galvanized bolt. And there's schedules on there that tell you where they have to be. But they're basically staggered, and they're so many inches apart. And it has to be through bolted. You can't.
I was going to say it's a through bolt, not a lag screw. Correct.
Correct. You cannot use a lag to fasten it to the house. And then here's the other thing, and this just it seems like it makes it more complicated because it does. But depending on the type of floor system you have, you can't always bolt to the house. Sometimes you had mentioned it, a freestanding deck. So essentially, you have post near the house or adjacent to the house. And you have a freestanding deck because you can't really bolt it to the house. And when they say bolt it to the house, it's not just so that it can't move or pull away from the house, but those are your actual supports.
Right.
Holding that side of the deck. So as you move away from the house, you would have footings and posts sticking up. But against the house, if you bolt it and you bolt it properly, that's actually what's carrying the load of the deck. And then I just got to throw this in there, John. I guess people would think, well, so what? You have a couple of chairs out there and a couple of people, mm-hmm. but you know, what if you have a party and you have, you know, four, you know, or 10, 200 pound, people out there, you know, it's, that adds a lot of weight to a deck, and it's not just the weight of people standing, but when you're moving, that's where gets complicated,
it absolutely does. And imagine, so here's a tiny bit of useless information that's not really useless. So if you are marching your troops across a bridge and you're in marching cadence, right, left, mm-hmm. right, left, right, left, right, you break cadence as you cross the bridge because you never want to create what's called a standing wave. And a standing wave is exactly that. It's a wave, but it's a vibration in a substrate. And a standing wave amplifies. I'm sure I'm not doing physics justice as I say that, but I say that for this reason. So now you've got how many of your 200-pound people on the deck, there could be music, they could be dancing, and they could be dancing to like a cadence, and they could be stamping their feet. And pretty soon you have a physics disaster, and you only have to go back. I don't want to, it was a city in North Carolina back in the 80s where that's precisely what happened. And a two-story deck came down and there were fatalities. Right. So it sounds like, whatever, but it's kind of serious.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
If the deck's 2 feet off the ground, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Right.
But
if there's some broken ankles and hurt, egos, but yeah, exactly. So, all right. So you talked about that. Through bolts are, so here's my opinion. I had to go back and do that in our home, right? So it wasn't quite every other joist cavity, but I had to go back and reach and I could get at it from the basement, which was easier than other scenarios. Like if you got a really tight crawl space, but it was a pain to through bolt those things and crank them down. Let's talk about just how do you get around that, just making a freestanding deck that is close to the house but is independent of the house structure.
And so how does that work?
So yeah, exactly.
Now you have a different scenario. So you have to put posts next to the house, but you have to put a footing in. That's where it gets a little complicated because
I guess
if you pour a footing next to the house, there's already a footing there for the existing house. So you essentially are joining this footing onto that footing. You can't set your post on the existing footing unless it's
correct.
Unless you can expose it and prove that it meets the code. Chances are the post would be too close to the edge of the house footing, so you would have to add onto that footing. But when you join those footings together, you actually have to drill into it sideways and put rebar. Have it stick out and then pour that rebar is now sticking into the hole that you dug. You pour the footing, so you have those two joined together.
Too complicated. Let me ask this question because so rather than do all that, bring your footing out away from the house. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be integral with the existing structure footing. Pour the footing there, and then if you look at the deck guidelines, you can cantilever, so you can put a beam and cantilever your joists over that beam, and as long as you know what dimension and how big a cantilever you're going to have between the actual footing and it being close enough to the house to work, you just pour a footing that size independent that's not integral with the footing of the home, and don't you save all those headaches?
You do.
Is that legal?
I believe it is legal, but herein lies the problem. So if we kind of go back about, I know this is, it's funny because when we talk about bolting the deck to the house and the strength of it, the other component of that was that what happens a lot of times when people build a deck, 5 years later, they say, this is great, but we're out in the rain when it rains, or it's too hot, or they want to use it all year round, and they want to maybe heat and cool it. So what do they do is they put a roof over it and they build it.
Yeah.
That's the other reason that deck codes change. So the deck is framed so that you can actually build a room on top of it.
Got it.
And so if it's cantilevered, you can't have too much weight.
Can't do that.
On the cantilever, but they cut the cantilevers back. So I think that's the max that you can go now still allows you to put a load out on that cantilever. So, but again, you'd want to check if that's in your plan and when you design it.
Yeah, get an engineer to help you with that if it gets that complex. All right, we are close to the top of the hour here, so we're going to have to sneak away for a break. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're talking decks, but we'll talk about whatever's important to you. We're at 704 570-1110, 704-570-1110 is the number. Ask us a deck question or any other question, and we'll tackle it as we always do. And remember, you can also go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note that way. Anyway, as Sly said, we're going to take some more time to do home improvement when we return from these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking about decks, but we'll talk about whatever's important to you. There's a lot going on in your home, and so we want to make sure we cover the topics that are relevant for you this week. David, we've been talking about decks. We've been talking really, and we could go another 2 hours, I'm pretty sure, just structurally, footings, correct ways to attach them to the home, the evolution of a deck from a simple deck to, you know, an enclosed structure that ends up getting, you know, becoming a conditioned space. And then we hand it off to our friends, Zeke Acosta and Scott Shelton, say, all right, how are we going to do this? Is it safe? Let's move to the wooden aspects of it. For the most part, anything that we're going to put into the ground to support the deck by way of posts, and then what's referred to as the undercarriage, the joist system that'll ultimately carry the whatever decking solution you choose to put on it. It's kind of important. Let's talk about the post first, because there are some scenarios I have seen where there's actually steel structures in place to carry, you know, in place of your wooden posts, at least for the undercarriage. But as a general rule, it's going to be a wooden post, correct?
Yeah, and when you're talking about the support post?
Yes.
Yes. So you want to use wood, although they have steel decks, steel frame decking available, all the framing.
At a point we were talking very early on that steel might have been an acceptable solution or a desirable solution from a cost perspective, you know, 2 years ago, correct?
Yes. And it depending on what you're going to do with the deck, steel may be a better opportunity, especially if you're gonna put any type of stone or tile. I'm involved with that product, the Silka system, which is a grate that you could put on top. But that's you could put that on wood, and it was designed to be on wood. But sometimes wood's not as stable, especially over the long haul. So if you're putting something rigid like a travertine or porcelain tiles, big tiles, if the deck starts to move, or which it's inevitably that's what it's going to do, right? It's going to settle a little bit, and now you're going to have some issues with puddling and then potentially breaking the stone that's on top. So especially if they're big pieces, wood posts are the norm. And a wood framing is the norm, and that's what the average person uses out there. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. We could go a step further with that and say you may want to treat that with cedar shield,
right?
Before you ever put your decking over top of it, especially if it's a low deck. What that does is that takes the water out of it and then keeps it from absorbing water again. And when you do that, now it's stabilized and you have less chance for that to expand and contract and have other issues.
Let's go while you're talking about cedar shield and treatment, let's go specifically to the treatment, as in like the what used to be CCA now is ACQ, micronized copper, different solutions, borate solutions. But there's those things are designed to prevent rot and decay. They don't keep, to your point, David, they don't keep the wood from taking on water, giving off water, checking, splitting, warping. But let's talk about the actual treatment, because it's been a long time since we addressed this. And if you're putting a post in the ground, or if you've got a deck that's going to sit, like the joists are going to be in ground contact, the type of treated wood that you use makes a difference, right? You have to use something designed for ground contact.
Yes, absolutely.
And the numbers vary a little bit. It used to be, well, I say easy just because it's what we grew up with, but when it was CCA, if you could look at the tag on the lumber, and I think it would say like LP22 or LP44, and that meant the retention level was, it was actually pounds per cubic foot of treatment that it held. But if the old CCA, if you saw something 0.25, it was for above ground, 0.40 was for ground contact, and then 0.60 was what they called heavy duty ground contact, or and then 0.80 fresh water, so it could be in fresh water, and 2.5 could be in salt water. For ACQ, the numbers I have don't get me into salt water and fresh water. I'd have to go back and look real quick, but for ground for above ground, it's 0.15. For ground contact, it's also 0.40, and then for what they call heavy duty ground contact, it's 0.60. I'm trying to see ACQ. ACQ only gives me, yeah, it doesn't get me beyond heavy duty ground contact. So the chart I'm looking at, but you right. can go out and find it. I'm sure. I just haven't had a chance to dig deep in it. And we don't want to just get all totally nerded out on that. But the number, the most important thing is just, is it ground contact or above ground? And you want to make sure that you've made that determination.
Right. And then and I think the other thing is too, and I know we're going to a break, but also consider if it's close to the ground. I mean, I used to do this in all my decks. I always put some type of plastic or landscape fabric and then gravel. And that ensures that it's not sitting in moisture, and it's the bottom of the deck's not being fed with moisture continually.
Exactly.
It can't dry out.
It can't dry out, and it'll cup. It'll cup on you because the sun will beat the water out of the top of it. The bottom's picking up water, and you have a cupping deck. All right. You're right. We have to take a break. Folks, don't go away. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the number. Give us a call. We'll talk when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We will happily take your call at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you, or we'll keep talking about decks and all things related. We could do a month on decks, being a little bit more, I don't want to say organized, but just a little probing a little deeper into each topic. But let's try to get a good 10,000-foot look at this. So, David, we were talking about the importance of using the right product from a wood treatment perspective, like how much of the actual chemical treatment that is introduced pressure-wise in a pressure vat, how much is retained, and then, therefore, where it can be used in ground contact or not. And we kind of rushed away while you were talking, or after you mentioned the whole idea of some sort of landscape fabric and stone. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because it really has an effect. If you're going to put, especially if you're going to put wooden decking on top, what you do to keep moisture from building up underneath is kind of important. Yes,
it is, and it doesn't matter how high the deck is off the ground. Obviously, if it's 8-10 feet off the ground, you're probably going to pour concrete. So
right,
that's just a no-brainer at that point. But if you're not going to have anything, or if you want to close it in, even, it's a great idea, because you treat it kind of like a crawl space,
right?
And so you have a way for the water to wick away, and then the stone, it also keeps vegetation from growing, which is great. And then, of course, if it's a low deck, if the water can get out from underneath it, as you stated, you get rid of the moisture. It's not going to affect the wood. Don't forget, it's also going to start to try to evaporate and migrate up and through the wood. So now you have a little steam shower coming up through your deck, through the cracks in the deck all around you while you're sitting out there trying to be comfortable. So lots of reasons to do that. It's an extra step, and it costs a little bit more money, but it pays for itself in the long run pretty quick.
Agreed. So then let's talk about the products that we put on the deck to be the actual decking. And I just have, there's a lot of different options. Let's just set the conventional deck boards, whether they're composite or wooden, just set that aside for 1 second and quickly touch on some different options to consider. Because you spoke of it a bit ago, David. You can put, with the right substrate, you can put tile out there. You and the Silka system can put stone out there. What are some of those options that people might want to consider versus just a conventional wooden deck?
Sure. So so we talked about this deck brochure that you can get from Mecklenburg County in North Carolina. So if you just do a search, you can find this, and it's called All Decked Out. But if you just do a search for Mecklenburg County decks, this is going to pop up pretty close to the top. And it's designed for wood, for the most part, for wood or composite decking. When you switch to stone, tile, or anything else, you probably are going to need to enlist the services of an engineer. To make sure that you have the proper loading for your footings, because you're adding more weight, essentially. So dead weight is what they call it, or mm-hmm. Instead of a live load. But there's all types of systems out there that you could put down. I've found this product called Silka System, which is called Stone Deck. They changed their name because I think it was confusing to people. It's a plastic grate that gets screwed down to a 16-inch on-center joist, and then it allows you to put any type of outdoor stone on. You can put pavers, you can at any thickness. Again, you have to have the deck frame and the footings have to be substantial to add this type of load. Not a whole lot, but it is a little bit different than a standard deck. So you could put travertine, you could put any type of porcelain tile out there, and there's some steps you have to take to do that. From there, John, you go to like the Schluter system. You could put tile, exterior tile on it,
right?
But you have to make sure that you have a drainage plane underneath the tile. That's where people run into trouble when they do those. They try to shortcut. There are no shortcuts if you're going to spend that kind of money to do it. You really need to follow the protocol and use a system so that any water, or when the water gets through the grout joints, that it has a way to get down to the bottom and it has a drainage plane so it comes out of there. So you can do all those things, but there's no shortcuts. So make sure you follow what the manufacturers say, so you don't put good money after bad.
Good point. And we're not going to go down this trail right this second. But when you say, hey, you're going to put tile surface on there, that opens up another conversation about what kind of tile, right? So there's mm-hmm. some that can go through a freeze-thaw cycle, some that cannot. They have a friction coefficient, I think it's called, so that it's exactly. not slick if it gets wet. So there's some other things to consider. We're not going to complicate this conversation with that right now, but as you come off of the conventional, great ideas. You just want to do a little bit of due diligence to make sure you're selecting the right products and they're going into the right application. Mm-hmm. All right. So then let's go to the most typical solution, which would be typically a 5/4 treated wooden deck board, or a comparable 5/4 is basically a full 1 inch. If you translate that into composite products, it's usually like a 16th off of an inch, 15/16 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And those are the most common. I just did a quick price check in the Atlanta market. A 5/4 by 6 by 12 standard EaseEdge deck board is $8.58. The same animal, 5/4 by 6 by 12 in premium. So that means fundamentally no knots. It's virtually a clear board. Same EaseEdge is $13.58. I didn't try to do the math. I probably should have picked a 10-footer. I could have done the math easier, but I'm not going to mess with that. So that's $8.58, $13.58 for a premium clear. And knowing that you've got, we'll talk in depth in this in a minute, but when you put that down, it's not once and done. Like, you never have to do anything again, and it's going to last forever. We'll talk about that in a second. Compare that to the same animal, a 15/16. So again, fundamentally 1 inch thick by six. And when I say by six, it's nominal six. The actual dimension on both the wooden and the composite is 5.25 or 5.5 inches.
Right.
Again, it's that just goes back to the, you know, surface dry, there's shrinking and planing and all that stuff. So nobody's, well, I don't know, maybe there's a toothpick company somewhere profiting from that. I don't know about it. But that 15/16 of that, so that composition product is $26.98. So that is a substantial difference from a standard 5/4 board to a composite board. And yet, it's not a bad decision financially.
No. Right?
So you're gonna have a front-end investment, and we probably don't have time to go deep into it before we take our break. But I said, you know, when you put that wooden deck down, it's not cool. I got a treated deck. Everything's, I never have to do anything again. You know, not so. You need to put some sort of treatment on it at least every other year, depending on the treatment and the exposure and so on. And when you figure out the cost per square foot of doing it, not factoring your time in, knowing you got to do it at least every other year, the lifetime cost of that wooden deck could be substantially more than the composite board. I'm not trying to sell you one or the other, and there might be reasons to choose one or the other aesthetically even, but just something to think about, give some perspective, gives you something to think about while we take a break, and then you can call us at 704-570-1110, opine about that, or ask a different kind of question. Either way, we're happy to have it. We will do all of that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show after these important messages.
Schneider Tree Care, expert tree care specialist for WPT and for you.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're going to take your calls at 704-570-1110. Jay, we see you out there. Before we jump on your call, we got to do the Home Depot product of the week. And this week's product of the week is the Masterbuilt Gravity Series 800 Digital Charcoal Griddle Grill Smoker Combo. David, I think I shared the first hour when we were talking about this. I've, ever since moving to the South, loved, you know, smoke brisket, smoke butt, smoke ribs, all these awesome things that friends and family have done. And I've always just steered clear of it because I just thought it was too complicated to really do it right traditionally. This, there's great stuff out there, but this, I thought this Masterbuilt Series 800 kind of takes all the mystery out of it. It's got a gravity-fed charcoal hopper, right? So you can put the charcoal in, and it's gravity-fed, so it feeds into the fire. There is a Wi-Fi-enabled fan that maintains the temperature, the optimal temperature for whatever it is that you're smoking, cooking, whatever. So really, all of the hassle of trying to stay on top of something is eliminated. And so now, even I could have, you know, the smoker, the grill, that kind of does the awesome work that I've just always been afraid to do. And it doesn't break the bank. It's not pocket change, but it's under $800. So as you think about all these great things we're talking about with decks and outside areas, this is a pretty slick little deal. It's the Masterbuilt Gravity Series 800 digital charcoal grill, griddle, and smoker combination. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. Love it. When you check it out online, you'll see all kinds of other really cool stuff. So don't be bashful. All right, let's get Jay. Jay, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
When I got up, I heard y'all talking about the stock price of lumber stock prices.
Well, not stock prices. We're talking about like actually buying lumber. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of come in on the tail end of that.
But yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
Well, if I heard you right, the overall cost of building a home would probably be.
No. We did not talk about building a home. We talked about the composite lumber price. The cost of building a home has so many factors. Go out and look at a composite product and labor index. You'll see that's pretty significant. Add into that the ongoing regulation costs of what it costs just to be compliant in whatever municipality that you're working in, are all factors. So Jay, when we spoke, somebody's going to yell at me, say, why did you even talk about lumber prices? For this exact reason, Jay. So what I shared with you was the price of lumber only, right? So there's so many other factors in building a house that I did not address. And I addressed it because we're talking about decks. And decks are predominantly lumber, right? But it is impossible. It's possible, but it would be way wrong to translate the comment about what wood costs are to the cost of building a home.
Gotcha.
I cleared that up?
Well, thanks for straightening me out on that.
Yeah, no, I said sorry to be passionate about that.
I've given house plans to a couple of builders.
Yeah.
And these were specific house plans, and I got prices anywhere between $200 and $300 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with just lumber prices being cheaper now, I guess you could at least chop some of that off for square foot price, right?
Yes.
Yes. The lumber price would be down.
Right.
I'm trying to. I don't have it. I'll see if I can get it. And David, we can. Or if you send us a note, Jay, to questions at AskJohnAndDave.com. I have a really cool link that'll give you current market trends for it's select products, but it's typically the combination of products that would go into building or remodeling a house. And I can give you the products. I can give you the products without labor. I can give you the products with lumber factored in and without lumber factored in, so you can see how much lumber costs actually affect the total cost of the product going into the house. So, and then it gives you product and labor. And if you send us a note at that, I'll get that link and send it back to you. It's really great. And I'm not going to remember precisely off the top of my head, Jay, but I looked at it with lumber factored in, and it's still higher than it was a year ago. And I looked at it with lumber taken out, and it's higher than it was a year ago, right? But I'll send that stuff to you so that you, because it's public information. It's not secret squirrel stuff. I just don't have links and stuff memorized on the top of my head.
Right,
so
right. Okay. All right. I'll do that. Listen, I got another question comment. You're
sure.
Talking about the decking and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the treated lumber versus composite and all that. Now,
yes.
The treated lumber that you buy nowadays, now that they took the good old arsenic and all the stuff they used to treat it with years ago out of it, that treated lumber now doesn't last as long as it did 20 years ago, does it?
I believe the warranties are identical, Jay. It looks a little different. Actually behaves a little better from a stable perspective because of how they introduce, depending on what treatment they put in it. But my understanding, David, and I'd have to go back and look, the warranties are still the same based on retention level.
I think so. I think the biggest difference, I mean, other than they took the arsenic out, which, you know, wasn't enough in one board to really hurt some. I guess if you ate it, it could be a problem, but it probably wouldn't be from the arsenic. It was all of us together. So what was leaching out into the groundwater and all of that, and that's why they changed it. What we have now is the salts that are in it are so much more corrosive to the fasteners, and that's the key. I've been in line before at Home Depot and saw people buying carts of lumber for a deck, and they had drywall screws, and I just had to say, I know this is none of my business, but that's not going to work. And I hate to see you spend all that money and do all this, but you have to use the proper fasteners, or in 6 months from now, several of those screws are going to be rusted out.
Oh yeah.
Gone. So,
well, where I'm at down here, you got a lot of guys, quite a few areas that have these little sawmills, little portable sawmills, and they'll, you know, cut you up some lumber, whatever. But I know a couple guys that sell just red cedar boards.
Yes.
And it's not that expensive. I'd be looking at putting maybe a 10 by 20 deck up. And I thought about, going with the lumber, you know, for the framing, and then for the actual decking, using that red cedar and just putting some kind of, if there's such a thing, a super duper sealant.
Jay, do me a favor.
For one thing, it'd look a whole lot prettier and probably near about as long. What y'all think?
We think we got to put you on hold to answer that question because we're way past our break, but you make an awesome point and we want to stay with it. So don't go away, Jay. We're going to put you on hold. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show taking a break. Be back after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're in the final segment, the lightning round. We're going to jump back on the phone with Jay. Jay, thank you for waiting through the break there. You made a really awesome point. And there's other options from a wood species perspective that are naturally rot resistant. And you were asking about a super kind of treatment for, I think it was kind of how we left it. And David, I think Jay's onto something. I mean, that's an option, right? Especially given like things like the cedar shield stuff that we've talked about, right?
Yeah, because that's what Cedar Shield's made from is red cedar out of Texas.
So Jay, if you've got somebody that can mill the cedar boards for you, you got to season them correctly, right? And then surface them, whatever, so that they can be used and you don't have all the shrinking happening right on your deck. But we really like the Cedar Shield product because it stabilizes. So the cedar is going to be naturally wood or rot resistant, right? And then the Cedar Shield stabilizes it so it's not taking water on, giving it off, and so on. And it becomes a really, really, in our opinion, a really good option to a yellow pine treated deck board.
Oh, so the Cedar Shield, you can use that on any kind of, you can seal any kind of wood you want.
Any type of wood,
Yes, sir.
But you
sir.
You could put it on that wet cedar that you're talking about. So if they mill it, if you immediately saturate that with the Cedar Shield, it'll push the moisture out of it, and you won't have to wait for it to dry. It'll do it automatically. So within a few days, you could go ahead and fasten that down to your deck. And they say after 72 hours, if you wanted to put some type of a sealant, stain, clear sealer, whatever you want to use, the moisture is out of it, and that's kind of a winner right there, because traditionally we have to wait for lumber to dry out, depending on the time of year. It could be 30, 60, 90 days. But with Cedar Shield, you could actually put that on a brand new deck. You wait 72 hours and then you can stain it because it's pushed the moisture out of the wood and it's pretty much dry and ready.
Sounds good.
That help
that Cedar Shield, did they make that out of like the sap of a cedar tree, you reckon, or what?
Yeah, they get that oil out of that tree. I'm not sure how they do it. I'm sure they must have to grind it up somehow, but yeah, they get that out, and then they have some type of other product they put in there as a carrier to take it down into the wood. You can read about it at Cedar Side.
I appreciate all the advice and don't want to hold y'all up anymore.
No. We love your question, Jay, because you asked the question and brought stuff up that people are thinking and stuff. So absolutely grateful for the call.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jay. You too. Jay makes a really good point on several fronts, right? The different options for that deck surface. But also, I'm glad he brought it up because the last thing I want to do is send people walking away thinking, oh, I'm going to pay less for a home today than I did, or the same for a home today that I did 2 or 3 years ago. Just, it's not happening right now just because of so many factors. And not the least of which is just the regulation stuff keeps piling on. I mean,
well, labor costs are up too.
And labor is very difficult to come by.
Less people want to get into the trades, and therefore they're when you do hire them, they're coming in at a premium price. So it is what it is. Hey,
yeah.
While we're at it, I know we want to get on to something else, but I had that's a question here.
Yes.
From John Cantamella, our friend with the
Infrared. Oh, right, yes. John called last week too. Yep.
Oh, good. Anyway, he's built a deck and he wants to know when can he stain this deck. So we just talked about that. Using Cedar Shield, that speeds that process up. So if you're building a deck, if you have the Cedar Shield on hand, as soon as the deck is finished, you can go ahead and apply it according to the manufacturer's recommended installation instructions. Apply it, wait 72 hours, and then you're ready to stain. There's no waiting other than to let the oil dissipate and let it do its job and push the moisture out of the wood. And then he also wanted to know what type of stain. You know, there's so many stains. I'm a fan of the Cabot's stains. I like
yes.
those.
Yes.
I've had pretty good success with them. I like a deck, John, like you do, that's stained with the semi-transparent. It keeps the wood. It just looks nice and you can see it. But the sun degrades all of it. So if it's out of the sun, it's not really a problem. If it's in the sun, I hate to say this, but I like a solid color stain because it lasts for several years, and then
it's more durable.
Here's the real key to it. When you do have to restain it, you just have to wash it and you can stain back over it. Semi-transparents or most stains, you have to remove them before you apply a new stain. So you talked about that earlier in the cost of maintaining a wood deck, and that's part of it.
It is. And Jim has a question that's related to that also. Jim, let's see if we can sneak you in here real quick. Jim, good morning. Thanks. And welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.
Good morning. I've got a about 7-year-old deck. It's never been treated and the wood's getting kind of rough. And I was wondering about the deck over.
Deck over is a great product to go over something that you really don't like how it looks. It is, as for that purpose, we think it's good. It's kind of like, in my opinion, only great product for like the last hurrah for your deck. It's not something that I would say, hey, you just put a new deck down, now put the deck over on top of that. But it is precisely for the application that you have. It's the deck that's there is solid, but it's a little rough looking and you're cool with the deck over look at the end of the day. It's a good product. David, do you have opinions on that?
I agree. It's kind of a Band-Aid. It's to get you through until you're ready to replace that decking. You're going to have some problems down the road. There's opportunity for that stuff to peel off a little bit and move because the deck has probably got moisture in it because it's not been sealed. You know, I don't know if it's not rotten and it's just wet, but it looks okay. You could put Cedar Shield on it first and let that dry and then do the deck over. It's probably going to hold on there better because the deck's not damp. But we typically say, like John said, it's the last ditch effort to keep a deck for another year or two before you swap out the boards.
Okay, I've seen conflicting information. Some of it says it covers 75 square feet per gallon, and another one says 375 per gallon.
Mm. Right. You'll have to. I've seen it both ways, man. If the deck is really checked, a lot of cracks and splits, it's going to soak up more, because it's going to be more surface area for it to go down into.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Jim. All right, great product for that specific application in ingenuity at work. We love it. David, I don't think we're in a position to start. We're at 55 here. We're not going to start another topic. As we expected, we didn't even come close to exhausting all the different topics. We can bring some more up next week. And folks, if you got questions in the meantime, you can shoot us a note at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button or send the note to questions@askjohnanddave.com. Got to spell out and we can get some information to you. And David, if Jay sends us that note, I'll share the link with you for the different indices in the marketplace. And that is another 2 hours in the books, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being a part of our show. Each week, we like to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.